Yes, it's a Thursday afternoon already, so we are just one day away from the beginning of the weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Swifties are coming in town. There's a whole greeting station at the airport waiting for Taylor Swift fans to come in. And there are Taylor Swift impersonators. With all due respect to Taylor Swift, they're kind of looking like her. There's some people who kind of, do Taylor Swift songs, and they kind of look like her. So there's some Taylor Swift lookalikes out there doing some songs, and that's pretty interesting. But this whole thing is just such an interesting phenomenon because there are really few artists. In fact, I guess with the exception of the Beatles, has anybody ever gotten this big? Has anybody ever been this huge? I mean, look, I remember, when Guns N' Roses were on top, when the Beatles were on top, the Beatles, were an exception. But there had been some other bands. The Rolling Stones, I mean, they bring in a lot of money. But the Rolling Stones don't do three sold-out shows in a row. I mean, maybe they could, but that doesn't happen. And I don't know if the demand would be there for that. Maybe it would be. But this is a really interesting thing. But I really can't think of any artist that is as big as Taylor Swift is right now. It's really quite a phenomenon. And it's going to be really interesting to see what she does after this. After this huge tour ends, what does she do? And where does she go? At some point, there'll be another album. I mean, I'm sure she's figuring this out. But, man... I don't know that she'll ever reach this peak again. And here's the real trick with artists like Taylor Swift. The audience that she's attracting now is going to mature, and they're going to change. Is Taylor Swift going to change with them? If anybody is smart enough to figure this out, it's Taylor Swift. And I think she's smart enough to mature and progress with her audience. Because that's what you have to do. And I remember years ago when Tiffany was just starting out, I think she was 17 years old when I interviewed her. And one of the comments that I made was that Tiffany is huge right now, but her fans are going to mature and change. And they're going to reject their past in the same way that, a lot of us, we reject our past. I'm not saying that we're not proud of our past, but, you grow out of stages. And as you grow out of a stage, you go, that's who I used to be. But, this is who I am now. Especially when it comes to music and fashion. Those things can be very trendy. And so one thing that I was, thinking about was whether or not Tiffany was going to age with her audience. And she really did not. She came back and she had a second career as a comeback. And she did well, performing places like House of Blues and things like that. But, nothing as big as she was. So I'm really fascinated to watch what happens with Taylor Swift after this Eras tour comes to an end. And I'm sure she's smart enough to take a little time off because, you just at some point you don't want being on top to just start diminishing. You want to end it while you're on top. And then find another way to come back. So anyway, it's going to be interesting to watch that. And the most fascinating thing to me is to watch how Taylor Swift handles this, because she's just so smart and so interested in marketing and marketing herself, and so good at it. That's going to be really fascinating. All right, we have a lot to talk about this afternoon. So New Orleans is becoming Swift Town USA. And Homeland Security here in the city is making sure that all the Swifties are going to be very, very safe. The concerts start tomorrow, and there's a woman in Metairie who bought out much of a downtown hotel, the Holiday Inn Superdome Hotel. She bought out most of it. She bought it out at a time. This was before the Taylor Swift concerts had... It couldn't have been before they were announced. But, I'll go through the timeline. But she booked most of this hotel at a time when... the hotel rooms were $500 a night, and then they went to $800 and $900 a night, and she was reselling them to Taylor Swift fans, not to make a profit, but just to make sure the Taylor Swift fans didn't get taken advantage of, and she was selling it for just the price that she paid for it. So she wasn't trying to make a profit. She was just trying to make sure that Swifties were not taken advantage of by hotels. But I guess, you know, in defense of the hotels, if there's a certain demand, hotels have a right to charge up to a certain point for their rooms, and it really is astronomical. All right, as the election approaches, some people are beginning to act out. A 60-year-old man in Arizona was arrested for firing into a Democratic Party office. Another man in Arizona is accused of threatening to kill Democratic election officials. I mean, does this concern you? And now we're learning that some election officials are going to be given, and they're going to be wearing, bulletproof vests on Election Day. I mean, what does that tell you about our country? You know, people are voting, so why shoot up an election polling place? I mean, if these are Trump people, Trump may be winning. So why shoot it up? I mean, if the election's going on, you don't know who's ahead. So I'm concerned about the mentality of a lot of Americans, and this does not represent all of this country. But I'm concerned about a lot of Americans who are on the verge of being violent. And that brings me to another topic. CNN conservative commentator Scott Jennings has been uncharacteristically aggressive in comments that he's been making defending Donald Trump on everything. And it seems like some of the Facebook posts that I'm reading are ramping up about Trump. I mean, I post something and boom, there are certain people who are just right there commenting. I mean, they've got to get their message out. So here's my question. Are Trump supporters getting desperate? I know you don't want to admit it, but I mean, I'm starting to see this activity, and it seems like Trump supporters are getting concerned. What are you concerned about? Why do you think? I mean, Trump has momentum right now. In fact, we're also going to talk about a couple of scenarios where Donald Trump could win in a blowout in the Electoral College. And that's going to be perceived as a mandate. And if Donald Trump gets that, even if he loses the popular vote, if he gets a mandate and if it's a blowout in the Electoral College, Donald Trump is going to be even more brazen. I think he's going to be even more brazen than he might be if it were a close election. I know the polls indicate it's going to be a close election, but there are a couple of people who are looking at this and they're saying that this could be a blowout for Donald Trump, and that Trump right now has the momentum, and that Kamala Harris has not been successful at defending her position and her policies. I mean, there's not a lot of talk about policies on either side. So, you know, we're going to get into that this afternoon. But if you're a Trump supporter, whether you're a MAGAite or you're a Republican or a Democrat, and you just think that Trump's the best person for this position to be president of the United States, and you're voting for him, are you concerned? And if you are concerned, what are you concerned about? Again, I know the polls show it's going to be close. But now there's talk about an Electoral College blowout for Donald Trump. So why the aggression? Why are people starting to, like, attack? Why are there signs of violence showing up in important battleground states? And why is a commentator like Scott Jennings, I mean, I think this might be a microcosm for Trump supporters. Why does Scott Jennings, this conservative commentator on CNN, why is he becoming uncharacteristically aggressive with his comments defending Trump? I mean, what do you think's going on? And if you're not voting for Trump and you want to comment, you can comment as well. But I think we'll talk about that this afternoon, because it's interesting, but it's also very concerning. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. 870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you too as well. Man, the vibe out there is immaculate. So many Swifties. It's in the air. You can feel it. I got Swiftie fever, man. I guess I should say Swift fever, but I also kind of got Swiftie fever. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, not to put too fine a point on, a lot of good-looking young women walking around downtown right now. Just saying.
Well, and listen, and you know, look, the you know what the coolest thing is about these young female Swiftie fans? I got a lot of young girls in town. A lot of teenage girls, a lot of really attractive teenage girls in town. You know what's the coolest thing about them?
Okay.
They're mothers.
Okay.
So.
Had me going there for a second. I was like, oh, God. What did I do?
So, it's a lot of attractive people in town. And, you know, look, this is a crowd that's not going to just characteristically cause any problems. This is a crowd that's just coming to town to have fun. They're into Taylor Swift. And, you know, this is a moment in their lives. And we'll talk a little bit more about this on the show tomorrow, the day of the first Taylor Swift concert. But, you know, this is going to be a really monumental moment in the lives of all of these young people. Many of them are going to their very first concert. And if they think every concert is going to be like this, man, it's going to be downhill from now on after this, because this is really unusual. But Taylor Swift continues to put on an incredible job. And again, as I mentioned yesterday, I wonder where she is now, because she was in Miami last weekend. She's in New Orleans this weekend. So is she in town now, or was she hanging out in Miami, or did she go someplace else and then she's going to come to New Orleans? I don't know. You know, she's got a couple of really nice private jets. Not one, but she's got at least two. One of them is used for short-range trips, like within the United States. Another one is used for the long-range trips, like overseas. And she's got a bed in it. I wonder if she and Travis Kelce have ever spooned in the bed. I mean, you're dating Taylor Swift. I mean, you know, why not a good spoon while you're traveling, you know, overseas? All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Okunor Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. A lot to get to this afternoon, and we'll get to all of that coming up. Yeah. Also, if you have a flight in or out of the airport, if somebody's coming in or if somebody's going out of the airport, you're going to see the Taylor Swift greeting at the airport. And there's a little stage set up, and people who, you know, kind of look like Taylor Swift are singing Taylor Swift songs. And there's a whole group of people welcoming people. There's a tremendous sense of connection, a tremendous sense of camaraderie among Swifties. And that's a really interesting phenomenon in and of itself. I'm Scoot. Great looking Thursday afternoon, and we'll be right back on WWL. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of misunderstanding going on. A lot of people misunderstand me. They misunderstand the show, and that's just that's part of this business. But, you know, the problem is people don't, they're not only not listening, it's like they don't care to listen. I mean, they don't care to know the truth. They don't really care about that. They just care about, you know, hearing what confirms what they already believe. And I find that sad. I find it very uncharacteristically un-American. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. If you've got a comment this afternoon, the Okunor Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I am sensing from comments on Facebook to news reports of threats of violence and actual acts of violence, I sense a ramping up of aggression. Why do you think this is happening? And do you feel the same thing? And now we're learning that a lot of people who are election workers, people who are going to be at the polls, they're going to wear bulletproof vests. Well, that doesn't do much good if somebody shoots you in the head, but I mean, it does protect some of your body. But why? I mean, you know, this is a real statement about America in 2024, that people are feeling the need to wear bulletproof vests. And I think that's sad. So if you're a Trump supporter, are you concerned? And maybe you're not concerned. But it seems like there is this sense of fear that Trump's not going to win. And that is inspiring. And again, I talk about Scott Jennings, the conservative commentator on CNN. And the guy has always been very mild-mannered. He's always been, you know, very cerebral when it comes to his defense of Donald Trump. And now he's becoming more aggressive. Now, I don't know. Is it possible that CNN is saying, hey, Scott, you know what? We need you to be more aggressive. You know, it's going to help the ratings if you're more aggressive. I mean, that could be happening. Or Scott Jennings could be a microcosm of a lot of Trump supporters who fear that Trump's not going to win. And they're just feeling pissed off, and they're just feeling aggressive. And there are some people we know. We know this in society. We know that some people don't know how to deal with their aggressive feelings. They don't know how to feel. They don't know how to reconcile their feelings of aggression. You know, we all feel aggressive when we're driving and somebody does something. And some people don't know how to deal with those feelings. And they act out, and they end up in prison. And then, you know, the rest of us, if we get really angry and we feel this sense of aggression, we just, okay, no, I'm not going to do that. But there are people who can't do that. And those are the people that I'm concerned about. It doesn't represent a majority of America, but it represents enough people to where I sense this trend toward aggression. If you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. All right, let's go to Ian with some of your early text messages.
We'll start out with Taylor Swift. Here's a text that says, Taylor Swift has already evolved. If you listen to the lyrics of her earlier music compared to now, it's a lot more sexual.
You know, and I'm surprised that nobody has commented on, like, a few of the album covers. You know, she's in very, very sensuous poses, and a lot of very young girls and boys like Taylor Swift. I don't have a problem with it, but with as sexually retentive as many in this country can be, I'm surprised that there haven't been more complaints about Taylor Swift in underwear, it kind of in a very sensuous pose, lying down. I think that, you know, like the last album, I thought that was a very sensuous cover.
Yeah, she has evolved in her music. You know, she started out as a country star, and then, you know, she has this sort of more pop turn with 1989, and the themes of her songs, not even just the ones that are more explicitly, you know, sexual in nature. She's definitely grown up with her audience.
I understand that. Yeah. But I mean, reaching this peak, though, you know, where does she go from here? That's going to be something to mm-hmm. watch. And I mean, as I said, I have confidence that she is going to change and evolve with her audience. And I understand that she has evolved to this point. But once you reach this peak, and can you think of anybody who's bigger than this? I mean, I can't think of any artist who has ever been this big. You know, maybe with the exception of the Beatles, and in the context of those times, you know, the Beatles and Beatlemania was incredible, you know, from being on the charts to what you saw on the streets. And when Beatles appeared in concert, you know, the Beatlemania stuff. That's, I guess, the last time that somebody has been this big. And there have been some huge artists who have reached really the pinnacle of success. But I can't think of anybody who's been bigger than Taylor Swift. So I do have confidence that she's going to change with her audience. But after this tour comes to an end, and it may be a little while before it ends, but it's going to ultimately come to an end, I'm interested to see where she goes from there.
Here's a text that says, if Michael Jackson and Elvis Presley existed in this time and age, they would be equally as big as more. Or more. It is all about timing. Social media and the global presence through social media is the biggest reason for the Swiftie movement. Imagine Michael Jackson and Elvis living during the days of the internet and social media. You can't.
You know, that's true. And I think that's a legitimate point, because social media and the internet have connected Swifties. And while they don't know each other, they feel like they know each other because they have this common bond, which is love for Taylor Swift. But Michael Jackson, you know, Michael Jackson, I saw Michael Jackson reach a peak. He reached a peak with Thriller. And Bad was a good album. But then after that, Michael Jackson wasn't continuing to be as popular as he was, in my opinion. Elvis, Elvis had reached a peak, and then music changed. The Beatles came along, and Elvis, while he was still drawing huge crowds, and Elvis might have been one of the ones who was as big as Taylor Swift, now that I think about it, because he could probably have three shows that were all sold out. So, you know, maybe the Beatles and maybe Elvis, but I can't think of anybody else who was as big as Taylor Swift.
Here's a text that says, before anyone says anything, even Ringo Starr has compared Taylor Swift to the Beatles. Here's a text that says, hey, Led Zeppelin, 1979 in Los Angeles Forum, they sold out six shows in 7 days. I know it's not as big as the Dome, but hey, Led Zeppelin was on top of it in the 70s.
Oh, they were. And I'm fortunate. I saw them twice. And I just feel very fortunate. I have not seen everybody, but I've seen a lot of people, and I feel fortunate that I was able to see those guys when they were at their peak in the 70s. And they were really on top. But again, maybe you can't compare them to Led Zeppelin. You can't compare Led Zeppelin to Taylor Swift because Led Zeppelin didn't have the media, didn't have the social media impetus that Taylor Swift has.
Here's one that says, hey, man, do your magic. Get an interview with Taylor Swift.
You know, listen, I wish I had that kind of magic. I really do. I would love to interview Taylor Swift, but she doesn't really do much of that. And I would love to do it. But, you know, sometimes there are people and she doesn't need it. You know, she just doesn't need to do the interview. And she's done interviews. There's so much written about her. She doesn't need it, but I would love to have that opportunity. But I don't think that's going to arrive. I mean, nobody can predict the future, but, you know, I will continue to look at that as an opportunity, but that's going to be a tough one.
Moving over to election violence now. Man, a lot of people are just out here trying to both sides the hell out of this guy in Arizona. Here's one that says, where did it go? Again, you won't talk about the violent leftist people and places in this election. You only mention Trump supporters. I know you don't research this, but come on.
Well, tell me about it. And I don't know for sure. I never said that these were Trump supporters. I don't know that they're Trump supporters. They might be. But I do sense that there's a ramping up of defending Trump. And these people who are attacking people are attacking Democrats. So there's every reason to believe that they're Trump supporters, but I don't know for sure. And if you can come up with incidents with Kamala Harris, you know, let me know. There are leftist extremists out there, but I don't see them as prominent right now as right-wing extremists.
Here's a text that says, these people committing violence are threatening to commit violence, are mentally ill. The crazy rhetoric on both sides is triggering them. But if Trump is to blame for these recent events, then isn't Bernie Sanders to blame for his supporter who shot Steve Scalise?
I don't think politicians are responsible for the acts of violence. I think Donald Trump was somewhat responsible for January the 6th because of the rhetoric that was congruent with talking about stopping the election, talking about stopping the steal. That mentality of stop the steal encouraged violence. But the people who committed the acts of violence are more to blame than Donald Trump. And in the case of Kamala Harris or anybody, the people who commit the acts of violence are more to blame than the person.
Yeah.
Than the politician.
Yeah, I don't think you can make the argument that Bernie Sanders would be to blame for what happened to Steve Scalise. I mean, it is true that the person who shot Steve Scalise was a Bernie fan. But if you look at the language that Trump uses, the way he, you know, it manipulates people emotionally, it is encouraging aggression at his rallies and is constantly suggesting that violence is an acceptable response to dissent. You know, he's dehumanizing and talking about all his opponents, the enemy of the people, they're going to destroy America. I mean, Bernie Sanders never said anything like that.
Yeah, that's exactly the point.
Here's a text that says, 700 Republicans who worked under the Trump administration are backing Harris, and that should tell everyone he's not fit. I'm an independent, and I got called Satan because I'm not a Trump supporter. Republicans are calling anyone who's not a Trump supporter evil.
See, and I'd like to know who called this person Satan. Was it a friend? Was it a family member? I mean, we're so divided that it doesn't matter if you're blood. It doesn't matter if you've been good friends all your life. It doesn't matter if you've known somebody for 30 years. If you're a Trump supporter and the person you have known for 30 years isn't supporting Trump, you're bonding with Trump over somebody you've known for 30 years. And you're criticizing the person that you've known for 30 years. This is really an example of how deep the passionate connection is, excuse me, between some of his followers and Donald Trump. All right, if you've got a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. You're getting a vigorous spanking because you've been a bad girl. That's what Tucker Carlson said, that President Trump, former President Trump, is like daddy who needs to discipline his kids. And Tucker Carlson went there like you're a bad girl. He's saying, daddy's home, and he's angry. All right, we'll talk a little bit about that. All right, so when we come back, let's talk about this talk now that Donald Trump may lose the popular vote, but he may win an Electoral College blowout. And I would love to talk to any Trump supporter who can explain the feelings behind the ramped up aggression that we're seeing in the news and that I'm also seeing on Facebook. And also you can go to Scoot on the Air Facebook. I hope you'll join us there if you haven't yet. And please comment on what we post, but comment on the comments. Just read some of the comments and read some of the comments about the comments. That's when it gets to be really fun. And all that's on Scoot on the Air Facebook. I hope you become part of that. All right, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. And when we come back, let's talk about this Trump winning an Electoral College blowout and getting what he's going to believe is a mandate from the American people. All right, Taylor Swift fans are continuing to pour in town. We welcome all of you to New Orleans. Have a great time. Enjoy this moment in your life when you're seeing somebody you so admire, Taylor Swift. And, you know, she seems like a really good person. I mean, she was going through men for a while, kind of like, people change their underwear. But she seems to maybe have settled down a little bit. And, you know, I don't see any reason why Taylor Swift is not a good role model, even though in general, we should not use artists or professional athletes as role models. I think there are exceptions. Drew Brees when it comes to sports and Taylor Swift when it comes to music. Any reason to think she's not a good role model? All right, if you've got a comment, the Oakland Art Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be right back on WWL. You know, when the election's over, at least some of the lying will be over. It's not going to all be over because there's still going to be a lot of lying after the election. The blog that I wrote recently, still trending, still popular on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, still getting a lot of comments, is titled, Why Are Trump's Pants on Fire? And I explain why his pants are on fire. It's the latest lie that Trump has come up with. And Kamala Harris lies. But as I said, she lies about statistics and what she may have done or what she didn't do or what she's going to do. She lies about those kind of things. Those are the typical things politicians lie about. Donald Trump comes up with these incredible fantasy-like lies that are just absurd. And they're not true, and sad that people believe it. All right, let's go to the Ninth Ward. Dell, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing?
I'm good.
I love the way that you differentiate the lies between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris is that his is more egregious than Kamala Harris's. A lie is a lie, especially when you're caught in a lie. Trump, from what I understand, from what I've been able to see, is that he will repeat things that seem fictitious in nature from a source, and he gets called on it. When you tell an intentional lie, such as saying that the border is secure, and then you say that the border is not secure, that's an intentional lie. For example, if I say that, hey, Scoot has a flat top, okay? And I tell it to somebody and they repeat it, is that a lie? It's not. It's something I've repeated, such as the thing with the dogs. But if I go and I see Scoot and I see that Scoot doesn't have a flat top, and I still say Scoot has a flat top, that's an intentional lie.
Okay,
you understand the difference?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but Donald Trump is repeating the lies that are equivalent to Scoot having a flat top.
What I think that Donald Trump is very guilty of is not vetting the stories that he's getting. That's what he's guilty of. Such as the thing with the dog.
Right, but he repeats them.
Pardon?
He repeats them. Even though it's been fact-checked in the media that it's not true, and the information has to get back to him that it's not true, but he continues to double down on the lies.
Like I said, politics is lies. I think Donald Trump has a problem with not vetting the stuff that he repeats. But needless to say, my biggest curiosity, because I am very, very, very active on social media, especially on panels on TikTok. I can say I've been on at least 200 panels over the last 3 months. I haven't encountered anybody more angry and more verbally violent than Kamala Harris supporters. Now, you're taking this from someone who used to be a Kamala Harris supporter. I have yet, in all the, since this entire thing has began with Trump running, I have yet to see anyone block someone because they're a Harris supporter or they were a Biden supporter. It is very commonplace, and your viewers can probably text in and tell you it's very commonplace when someone says that they're supporting Donald Trump. That's when things go south. So I'm not sure where you're getting that the angriness from Trump supporters, as is, I mean, is.
Well, I'm getting it. Listen, Dale, I respect what you see. I respect that. And I'm not even challenging what you see because I'm not on TikTok in the way that you are. Mm-hmm. And so I respect what you see on TikTok. I'm getting it from my Facebook page. I'm getting it from the news about, you know, people shooting a Democratic Party headquarters or Democratic Party office in one state, or some of the things that these people have been saying. And then the behavior of the conservative commentator Scott Jennings on CNN. He has turned more aggressive in his comments defending Donald Trump, and that gives me a sense that Donald Trump supporters feel desperate. But I agree with you. There are Harris supporters who feel a degree of desperation.
His behavior can't be no worse than Maxine Waters actively calling for people to be physical and actually pushing back
on
him.
I'm not going to disagree with that, and I dealt with Maxine Waters when she said that.
So here's a quick homework assignment. If you have time, if you feel like it, if you go to Facebook and you go to the search bar and you put in Trump and then put a comment and put block me, just do a search and it'll give you not only your friends but people that's in the general vicinity any post where that is listed. Then do Harris, block me, and see what the difference is.
All right, I'm going to try to check that out. Dale, I enjoy the conversation. I appreciate you calling the show. And if you want to join us with your comment, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. CNN's poll guru, Harry Enten, was on the other day, and he said that it's more likely than not that the presidential race is going to produce an Electoral College blowout. He actually said this earlier today. And based on his model, he says there's a 60% chance that the winner of this election gets at least 300 electoral votes versus just 40% for the loser getting less than 300 votes. And you need 270 votes to win. So either candidate getting 300 electoral votes would be considered a blowout. Now, he goes back to an average since 1972 in battleground states, key swing states. The average error in the key states is 3.4 points. He said history tells us that more likely than not, that in all of the swing states, the state polling errors would move in one direction. In 2012, 92% of the states moved in Obama's direction, even though the polls were close. So the polls underdid Obama. In 2016, 83% of the swing states moved together because the polls underdid Donald Trump, and Donald Trump won. You know, we remember that. And so in 2020, 100% of the swing state polls underestimated Donald Trump. So he did He did better than folks thought, but he lost the election. So what Harry Enten is saying is that this time around, don't be surprised if the swing state polls, which show it being very close, if they all move in the direction of one candidate or the other, and that the winning candidate will receive at least 300 electoral votes. And there are people who are saying that this is going to be Donald Trump. And there's another scenario that is tracking the Electoral College and believes that Donald Trump has all the momentum right now. Harris is feeling like she's in a weakened position, according to this analysis, that she has to explain the issues, explain what she's going to do. And sometimes Kamala Harris has a difficult time explaining with real confidence, you know, what she's going to do. And, you know, the truth is she's not a seasoned campaigner. And I think at this point in the campaign that they may be working against her. But this other analysis says that Donald Trump may be on track to be the winner of that Electoral College blowout. And, you know, I can see that happening. So that's why we don't know. As close as the polls are, we don't know what's going to happen. Still a lot to talk about this afternoon. If you want to join us with your thoughts and comments, the Okunar Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. It's the weekend before Halloween. It's going to be crazy in the Quarter and on Frenchman. Well, it was on this day in 2017 that legend Fats Domino died at the age of 89 at his home in Harvey, Louisiana. He had been ill for some time. Fats Domino just got national attention when he recorded this song, The Fat Man. This song was made in late 1949, and this was considered to be an early rock and roll record. Just listen to this for just a moment. The Fat Man sold 1 million copies by 1953, which back then was a lot compared to the population at the time. Widely considered the first rock and roll record ever to achieve that feat. Fats Domino had 35 records in the U.S. Billboard Top 40. Blueberry Hill was another huge one. Walking to New Orleans. I mean, the list goes on with Fats. This is the day he died in 2017. And, you know, it's sad because, you know, when I was growing up, you know, I'm a white kid and growing up in the predominantly white suburbs, you know, I thought the inventors of rock and roll were like Bill Haley and the Comets, white guys. And I didn't learn until later when Fats Domino died, when Dave Bartholomew died, when some of these people, you know, passed away, Little Richard, I mean, these people were the creators of rock and roll. It was black artists that really did invent rock and roll. I know some people find that to be offensive, but, I'm sorry. Look, I'm going to go with history. I'm going to go with the facts. And the truth is, rock and roll was not invented by people like Bill Haley and the Comets. It wasn't invented by white rock and roll musicians. It was invented by African-American musicians who back then did not get the attention they deserved. But, you know, at least at this point, it's better late than never, give them the credit that they deserve. All right, coming up in the next hour, we'll talk about why Gen Z males, Gen Z, the younger generation, why Gen Z males are supporting Donald Trump. Gen Z females are supporting Harris by a wide margin, but why are Gen Z males supporting Trump by a big margin? We'll talk about that. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.